This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
We have the confrontation, Yaakov Avinu with Esav. Yaakov Avinu is scared, he's in distress, and he begins preparations on how to confront Esav. Chazal tell us, with Daroin, Tfilah, Melchama. And it seems like the fear factor takes a big part of the story. How he's afraid, and he's scared. And it says clearly in the pasuk, Vayira, Vayetzer loy, he's scared. Ki ari anochi oisai, a lot of fear. Tell him I love what he says, and therefore I'm listening. I'm starting to listen to him. I love him so much. I listen. Rabbi Hecht, I'm starting to listen to you because I love what you say. No, Chas V'Shalom, it comes from love. It comes from respect. I love you, and I'm machshiv you, and I'm listening to you. And no, Chas V'Shalom, please, Rabbi Hecht, your midas tovus, your tzidkus, your Torah. So Vayira, Ki ari anochi oisai, fear and fear and fear. Now, l'chayre, does it fit for someone of the stature of Yaakov Avinu, Bchir Ha'avis, to have so much fear? Where's bitachon? Imagine if I or you or anyone has to go through a difficult situation. I'm telling you, it wasn't difficult. Esav was a, you know, it's a parsha. You would say, Chaim, David, Beryl, Bitachin, Yaakov Avinu, Bitachin. What happened to Bitachin? How could a person be so openly terrified to the point that he's almost out of control with fear? And he sends malachim, and he's trying, and ha-bitachin, where is bitachin? And to maximize the kasha, the Rebbeinu Shlom promised him, u'shmarticha b'chol asher teilech. So he's guaranteed directly from the mouth of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so to speak, that he has nothing to be afraid of. So why is he afraid? How could he be afraid? Even if he wasn't guaranteed, where's the bitachin and kol shkein? And when you're guaranteed. So Chazal already addressed this question in Brachas. In Masechtas Brachas, the Gemara says that he was afraid, Shema garam achet. Maybe sin, Aveiru. And since he did Aveiru, so there's no guarantees. Then there's never bitachin. Who doesn't sin? What does that mean? The minute you sin, there's no guarantee bitachin. You have to come bitachin even if you're balavera. It's brought down in even Mekairis that the balavera who has bitachin while he's doing the avera might be able to not get caught, so to speak, in his maisa. In what he's doing, for example, if he's stealing and he has bitachin, the bitachin might help him to get away with it, so to speak, and not get caught by the hands of Bnei Adam. Avada by the Eibishter, that you'll get punished for it. So what's the pshat that a person says, Shema Garam Achet, so what? Now, does Shema Garam Achet mean that he knows he has chet, or maybe he has chet? So let's say a person doesn't have chet, but it's shemoi, maybe. So you're even making it worse, the problem. It means a person should always fear. And Memesid Zayar, it says, Ein avtocha l'tzadikim. There's no guarantee for tzadikim. In this world, you always have to be careful. You never know. Person never knows. There's no easy, secure road, so to speak. Unless you say, Maybe it means before you daven. That's the pshat. Before a person davens, he can't say, you know what, I'm not going to daven, I have a guarantee I'd be tachin. But with tefillah, with the proper achana that's needed, tshuva, tefillah, tzedakah, then he has bitachin. Maybe that's the pshat. Amadad is an in of bitachin. But only after you did the proper procedures that give you the reason why you should have a yeshua. Tshuva, tefillah, tzedakah, and then you have bitachin. Maybe. And that's the pshat. Shem agar machet means before you have bitachin. Before you have tefillah. Shem agar machet. But after you have tefillah, a person could not have to worry about all this. Maybe. Maybe that's the pshat. That's why Yaakov Avinu is saying, I'm very afraid, but I'll prepare myself. There's another whole mahalach that the Ksav Sofer discusses. What is Shem agar machet? Which chet? What chet is he referring to? So the Rabban uses a lashon shigayos miyavin. You never know. A person never knows what chet. Some Rishayim want to say maybe it's the chet that he made a peace treaty with Lavan. That also might be some of what was bothering Yaakov Avinu. But the Ksav Sofer wants to learn, based on a medrash, machzik ba'oznei kelev. The medrash says that actually Esav wasn't looking at Yaakov. He was busy with his own lifestyle and the fun that he had in life. So it was Yaakov who made the whole problem in the first place by focusing and directing attention to Esav. Well, who told you to think about Esav? Esav was going his way. You would have went and you would have passed by like nothing happened. And therefore, Yaakov Avinu made his own problem. And a chanami. Comes out that a person could have bitachin. But the fact that he made the story in the first place, then you can't come and say, now I have bitachin. You should have had bitachin in advance. Have bitachin. But now that you didn't have bitachin, and you showed a lack of emunah, so to speak, a lack of bitachin, you went searching for Esav to make peace with him. Oh, now... Now you can't just turn around and say, okay, now I have bitachin.
You feel guilty that he stole.
Machzik ba'oznei kelev, it's called. Machzik ba'oznei kelev, which means when you hold on to the ears of a dog, don't expect the dog not to bite you. Machzik, he's holding the ears of the dog. But he's going to say, I have bitachin, I have emunah, I have. It's going to bite. And therefore, confronting Esav means you're going to get bitten. Don't come and say bitachin. Actually, some say along the same lines, and that's the pshat, the pasuk, Vayiro Vayetzer Loi. The Malbim says his name, Elimelech, others say it. Vayiro, he was afraid because he was afraid, Vayetzer Loi. That moment of weakness and bitachin, that he was afraid, is the reason why Vayetzer, that he was afraid. I once told you over a story that they say over in Brisk. One of the classics, Brisker stories, that the Brisker Rav was going on a train during World War II with the children. A Russian soldier comes on the train, and the Brisker Rav, of course, like any other normal Jew, was afraid of the Russian Kazakh, you know. At any given moment, they could start up with the Eden and beat him mercilessly for no reason. So he turns to his children and he tells them, remember the school of Reb Chaim Volozhin, which is that if a person has full bitachin, nothing bad could happen to him. It's called the school of Reb Chaim Volozhin, because Reb Chaim Volozhin said over that if somebody wants to secure himself, einay movadai, pure faith, and that saves a person. So he tells this to the children. And the Russian soldier passes the Brisker Rav, doesn't even look at him. He passes Reberel, the older son, doesn't look at him. And then he stops and he looks at Reb David, the second son. And he stares and stares at him. And what was supposedly just actually a few moments, a few seconds, seemed of course like a few moments, a few minutes. Because that stare was ice cold and frightening stare. And then he changed his, I guess, thinking, and he changed, and he moved all along, and then he passed by Reb Meir, his third son. So Reb Briskerov turned around to Reb David and said, "Tell me the truth. Did you think constantly, Einoid Movadei Bitachin, or did you for a second have a fear? Did you for a second be Masiach Das from this concept of Einoid Movadei Bitachin? Admit the truth." He said, "Yes. For a hair of a second, so to speak. I didn't have full bitachin. That's why he stopped by you. Yeah, for a second of a moment, of a lapse, a full einayid muvadzai bitachin, that's what happened. Here too, Vayira, Yaakov, maybe for a moment possibly even, had fear. Vayetzerlon. So now he had tsar. Now he had anguish. And now he was insecure because he had that fear. That lapse in bitachin for that moment. There's an etziv that says that actually it might have not even been a chisar in a bitachin, the vayira, the original fear. The Gemara tells us, man de mivis, when someone is scared, v'lo yada mai de mivis, he doesn't know why he's scared. So he might not see, but his mazel sees something, sees upcoming. That's what the Gemara says. A person has an inner chush, a mazel, that a person feels upcoming danger. So maybe he doesn't see it, but his mazel sees it. So he says, therefore, Vayira, his mazel saw something. Vayetzer loy, and therefore he had anguish. What I think that Itziv is trying to say, that's not a chisar and bitachin even. That's seeing a problem. And therefore, Vayetzer loy, then he has the right to be afraid. Because the fear was a sign that there was upcoming danger. A person doesn't have to sit in a war zone where there is danger and say there's no danger. That you can't come and tell a person when he sees danger not to see danger. And therefore, it's not a chisar in a bitachon. So here we have a mahalach that many farsha have taken, that actually there was a chisar in a bitachon. And the chisaron of bitachin was the reason for the lack of bitachin, the reason why Yaakov Avinu was afraid. And from the Netziv we have maybe that actually is a good reason to excuse and explain away why Yaakov Avinu was so afraid. And the answer is because he was afraid. And he didn't understand why he was afraid. He knew that he was a Baal Bitachin. He learned Chayvus Halavavus. And yet he's still afraid. It's a sign that there's really what to be afraid of. And that's why he was afraid. So these are the two pshatim that is brought down in the Mefarshim. There's other pshatim that talk about how when the Rabbeinu Shloim gives a haftacha to a Navi, so when it's personally for the Navi, it's not guaranteed that it will come. The Rambam brings down that when the Rabbeinu Shloim says something good will happen, it must happen. Otherwise, how do you ever know Navi Sheker? Maybe Hashem changed his mind. The Navi said it'll happen. It didn't happen because Hashem changed his mind. And the answer is, if it's something good, it has to happen. If it's something bad, then maybe it won't happen because the people do tshuva. But that's only, says the Mizrahi and others, by the Navi who gets his Nevuah for Klal Yisrael. But if the Navi is guaranteed something personal, says the Mizrahi, it's not a guarantee, even something good. It might change. Why, says the Mizrahi? Because the whole reason why we have to say that it'll have to happen, because people will say, hey, how come it didn't happen? It's a sign that there's a lie over here. But by the Navi who was given Nevuah for himself, is a raya, it's a proof that, I'm sorry, it's not a proof if it doesn't happen, because nobody knows. Who will ever know that nobody knows. It was told to the Navi, maybe. How do you know it's going to happen? How do you know it's not going to happen? So if it doesn't happen, it's also okay. Possibly that's pshat in the pasuk, Va'ata amarta, heitiv eitiv imach. It's a good question. How could you come and tell the Rabbeinu Shloim You said, hey, Teved, could a person talk to the Rabbeinu Shalom and say, you promised me, you told me, you vata marta, like a complaint, and you said to me, and you promised me. You know, a little child does that. Yeah, Ta, you promised, but you promised. I thought you told me. So I spoke with Rav Pam once, the Chayil of Racha, my Rebbe. Could a person say vata marta? Where do we have such a nusach tefillah, you promised me? And we discussed, maybe tefillah is about a child and a father. We talk to the Rabbi Yisrael like our father. And if we talk like our father, so then we could come and say, Ata Marta, just like a child tells his father, didn't you promise me? Ta, you said if I get 100 on the test, but you said, doesn't every child say, but you said? So it could be, you could say in tefillah, could be. Or maybe. You know what Yaakov Avinu was saying? The whole reason why when you tell a Navi personal, it could return, because nobody knows. But Va'ata Marta, you said it in the Torah, you said it. So everybody's going to know if it doesn't happen that you didn't keep your word. What's the whole reason, says the Mizrahi, why when it's to a Navi personal guarantees it could retract even on good? Because who knows that the Eibishter promised him, and who knows that the Eibishter didn't give it to him? But if it was out in the open, of course it had. Eibishter has to, almost like a Chil Hashem, and the Beis Halevi touches on this point, V'ata Marta will be a Chil Hashem. What does that mean? You said, Eitiv, you said, which is also a question Mepharshim asked, where did he say it? Where did Eibishter tell me? Eibishter told me, Shmarticha b'chal asher teilech, v'ashiv yisicha. Where did he use the word heitiv, eitiv? So the truth is, Rashi says, heitiv b'schus, it's a medrash, I don't know if Rashi brings that, but it's a medrash, heitiv b'schus Yitzchak, heitiv b'schus Avram. So maybe he's referring to the Birchus Yankiv, the Birchus Yitzchak and Avram. That Yitzchak gave him the brachas, and in the brachas means Avram and Yitzchak, Etlcha, I give you Birchas Avram. So what is Birchas Avram? Heitiv, Eitiv. Maybe that's where it comes from. The Maram Shik says that the Makar of Heitiv, Eitiv, he never said it. The Eibush never told him Heitiv, Eitiv. He says an interesting thing. He says that every day of the week is parallel to another one of the Avos and the Ushpizen like, meaning Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov, Aaron, and Dov. So Sunday is Avram, Monday is Yitzchak, and Tuesday is Yaakov, says the Maram Shik. And on Tuesday it says what? Kitayv? Twice. So Heitiv, Heitiv. You said on my day it says Heitiv, Heitiv. So says the Maram Shik. Classic. Interesting. Huh? I'll call upon it. That's the Pshat, Heitiv, Heitiv. There's another Pshat that's brought down from Sefer called Eretz Chemda, beautiful Pshat. Heitiv, Heitiv. What's Heitiv, Heitiv? You know, the Rambam says that even when bad things happen, it's really for the good. That's why we bless Hashem, we bench Hashem even on bad. Says the Rambam, Pirush Mishnah, because even bad ultimately has good in it. So there's really two ways how the Rabbi Hashem could say, I gave you good. I gave you good by giving you something bad. But then there's good, which comes what? From good also. Don't give me Hatova and say, listen, it's really all for the good. Ata Marta, Heitiv, Eitiv. Good that comes from good. Even bad is good. That good you didn't promise me. You promised me the good that comes from good. Point being, that when Vinu gets the bracha, Heitiv, Eitiv, that the Rabbi Shem will do good to him. So the question is, was he supposed to be afraid, or he wasn't supposed to be afraid? And the answer is, well, the Rabbi Shem promised him, right? To a Navi. So it was in the Torah already. And if it's in the Torah, Va'ata Marta, you said so, then you can't retract it. Because the whole reason maybe why something could be retracted, even though it's a Nevuah, because it's said to the individual, and nobody would know about it, says the Mizrahi. But here people know, Va'ata Marta, it's written in the Torah. That's what he means, you said. He's not complaining, you promised me. I would like to give another pshat, Rabbi Yisai. Why is it that Yaakov Avinu has to fear Esav, even though he was guaranteed by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ushmarticha b'chol asher teilech? And the answer is as simple. You have to understand that the confrontation with Esav is not a physical thing. It's the Yetzirah. It's Sagri Shel Esav. As a matter of fact, it's brought down that when he fights Sari Shalais of the night before, it says that the dust went all the way up to Shemayim. The dust, by Yehovik, Loshen Avak, went all the way up to the Kisei HaKavod. Mefarshim explained, because they were fighting over Ruchni Yizdika things. Hatzileni Nami Yad Ochi, Miyad Esav, we all know there's Ochi and there's Esav. It's Yetzihara. The idea of Esav is the Yetzihara of Esav, Edim. Chazal tell us, how did the Sari Shel Esav look? Does anybody know how he looked? Nidma like a Talmud Chacham. According to one opinion, the Medrash, he looked like a Talmud Chacham. Yaakov Avinu looks, he sees, Mamash a Talmud Chacham. Wow, unbelievable. Why? So Rabbi Aaron Kotel Zecher Tzadik Levracha has a whole mahalach, because throughout the Doiris, it was those that looked like a Talmud Chacham, but they were really Esav inside, that did us the most destruction. The Maskilim. You had, throughout the generations, people that came with the guise, they came with the facade, that they're Talmid Chachamim, and they're trying to teach, and be Marbitz Torah, and the truth is, they were rotten in the core. They were Esav in the core. Okay, that's Rabbi Aaron's Mahalach in Hashkafa. I would have said very simple. Mishchelu Beis HaMedrash. Don't think that the Yetzirah doesn't come in the Beis Medrash. Understand that the Esav could be within. The Esav could be in the Beis Medrash with you. In Paga Lecha Menuvel Zeh, like Esav, Sarshul is Paga. He attracts, he comes to Yaakov, he's Paga, he attacks Yaakov Avinu. What do? You could sometimes Mishchelu Beis Medrash and Minatzeach with Torah, and sometimes not. And sometimes not. So where is the Yetzirah then? He's in the Beis Medrash. It says, you mashchel Beis Medrash. Sometimes you win, sometimes not. So what happens? He's still there. The Nidma like a Talmud Chacham. The Yetzirah comes in different guises, in different versions. He could come looking like someone who's within you, almost in the picture of Yom Chavrusa maybe. Okay? Do you know that Torah, part of Torah, learning and keeping Torah, is to struggle with the Yetzirah? The Rabbi Hashem created Yetzirah, and the Rabbi Hashem created Torah Tavlin. They say over, I heard this from Izaydi Zechrein Lavracha, that Rav Hutner, Zechat Tzadik Lavracha, in Slabotki Yeshiva, he didn't want to learn with the Chavrusa, even though that was the policy. The policy was that everybody had to learn with the Chavrusa. So the Alta from Slabotka comes over to him, no Chavrusa? So he says, I am learning the Chavrusa. So Alta says, really? Where's your Chavrusa?
Hashem's there.
No. I'm learning with my Yetzirah. Why? He's definitely smarter than me, and he never misses a day. Yeah. Never misses. He's always there. You know what Rav Hutner was, and my Zaydi told me that the Alter appreciated very much the wisdom behind that. So it was a tremendous Yisoid Nashkafa. And he smiled. You know what the pshat in that story is? You got to fight with the Yetzirah. There's a Chavrusa in every limud. When you learn, it comes with a Chavrusa called the Yetzirah, and you got to deal with him. That's the pshat why I believe Yaakov Avinu, from all the other Avos, had to deal with an Esav. Why does Yaakov have to deal? Why doesn't Avram have an Esav? Why doesn't Yitzhak have an Esav? And the answer is, because Yaakov is Torah. And Torah is Barasi Torah, Barasi Yetzirah, Barasi Torah Tavlin. Now I understand why it can't be that Hashem says, Ushmarticha, that you don't have to fear Esav. You have to fear the Yetzirah. You do have to fight with the Yetzirah. You're right. Outwardly, fears, Lavan maybe. Hashem will protect you from Lavan. Hashem can't protect you from the Yetzirah. You got to fight that fight. Your job is to fight the Yetzirah. And I'll show you how it's meduyik in the pasuk. If you look at the beginning of Parshas Vayetze, as he ascends to Lavan's home, he gets a dream. And that dream is, Hini anoich imach, ushmarticha, v'chal asher teilech, v'ashivaisicha, l'adam azois, I will protect you. And they all ask the question, so why is he afraid? And the answer is, Rabbi Isai, because that was only on the way to Lavan's home, that he gets this haftacha. If you look at the end of Parshas Vayetze, before he leaves Lavan's home, and he's now ready to come together with Esav, to tangle with Esav, all it says is, Ani Hashem, and Hine Aneichi Imach. It doesn't say, Ushmarticha B'chal Asher Teilech. In Parshas Vayetze, in the beginning, before he goes to Lavan's home, it says, Ushmarticha B'chal Asher Teilech. And so I believe that in Lavan's house, he wasn't afraid of Lavan. As a matter of fact, he calls Lavan, Achiv Anibar Amayis. I'll win this one. I'm going to put circles around Lavan. I have no way. Yankiv Avinu was not afraid of Lavan at all. True, he went 40 years to Shem Ve'ever to prepare himself for Lavan, but he wasn't that afraid. Hashem promises him, Ushmarticha, don't worry. And don't forget, Lavan tried to kill him. Don't come and tell me that Lavan wasn't Lavan Bikish Lakas Akoil. Later on, Lavan wanted to kill him. He's not afraid. He's not afraid. But after Lavan, now he's going to confront Esav for the last and final time. Esav and Sarai Shel Esav. Here he does not get a guarantee. Ushmarticha b'chal asher teilech. All he gets is a haftacha hini aneichi imach. Pshat Rabbi Yisai, Yivaldik. I will be with you, Siyata Deshmaya. Of course there's a... Still going? Everything fine? Avada this Siyata Deshmaya. Yeah? The whole beginning didn't come out?
No, everything's good. Fine. I just
want
to see the...
Ah, okay. Yeah? Hini Anoichi Imach. I will be with you. But Ushmarticha, I can't promise you because you're going to have to go to battle with Esav. Because Esav represents Yetzirah. Yetzirah is the battle of life. And so, we answer the question, Lechaira, where's the Bitachon? Why is Yaakov afraid? And the answer is, you're supposed to be afraid. The Gemara says, Ashrei Adam Mefachei Tamid, the Pasuk says, Zok the Gemara, who be the Vitaira? You're supposed to be afraid. I bitachin, yeah, but a divri Torah, when it comes to Yetzirah, you're supposed to be afraid Yetzirah might get the better of you. That's a pshat. The Moritz Pasuk says, Asher Adam Mefachi Tamid. What do you mean? It's good to be afraid. Yes, ahu be divri Torah ksiv. And the pshat is, by divri Torah taka, there's a Yetzirah. And since there's a Yetzirah, there's an inyan of pachad. It's good, although the beginning didn't come out.
No, it's good. It says
camera is
now open, but it's recording.
Aha, okay. Steerus, you know, you think there's only a steer in modern technology, is a bigger steer. Okay, so again, we're addressing a simple question. How are we to understand and how are we to accept the fear of Yaakov? You're talking about an unbelievable amount of emphasis on his fear and how afraid he is, and it takes up such a big part of the parish. Where's your bitachin, Yaakov Avinu? And Hashem promised you, Shmarticha b'chal asher teilech. So we begin to give different terutzim, that Shema Garmachet, and maybe there are times where you can't have bitachin, and maybe bitachin means after you daven and do tshuva. Or maybe like we're saying, Gevaldik, when it comes to Yetzahara, there's no guarantees. And that's what the Zohar means. Ein avtacha letzadikim. No one's ever guaranteed that he won't sin. We know the Kohen Gadol after 80 years, he sinned. There's no guarantee that the Yetzahara won't win a battle. So what's the pshat? Ay, Hashem seru shmarticha. No, he said that for Lavan, maybe. In the beginning of Parshas Vayetzeh. But at the end of Parshas Vayetzeh, when he comes to confront Esav, all it says is, Hina neichi imach. Shat in the Shmai, yes. The Gemara says, Iluli ish HaKadosh Baruch Hu o Yisroi, if not for HaKadosh Baruch Hu that helps you in the fight, lo yuchalei, the Gemara says. You wouldn't be able to succeed. But who has to do the fight? You have to do the fight. The Sarei Shalesav becomes your battle. This Chabaisai is the pshat in the beginning of the parsha, where Vayira, he's afraid. Vayetzer loy, fear, fear. There's so much fear, yes. And Davki Yaakov Avinu, because Yaakov is Semel HaTeira. Teira is the so to speak, the anti-Yetzirah. It's the anti-Yetzirah. It's the war. It's the challenge. The two camps are always Teira mit Yetzirah. And that fight is forever. And that fight's to the bitter end. And constantly. And each one is challenging. And the Mela, Yankiv can't be potter, so to speak, from that fight. He can't evade that fight just with a guaranteed Rabbishim says, I'll protect you. It doesn't work that way. With this Rabbisai, I'd like to go to one step further to explain Vanechi Hetiv Etiv. I believe this is another part of the equation of Yankiv Avinu's understanding of Esav, of the story of Esav, and that is, yes, we know that Yaakov Avinu has fear with Esav because Esav has Kibbut Av Eim. Esav has Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, some of the Rishonim say. What did he do in Eretz Yisrael already? What is Esav? Esav sitting and playing golf in Eretz Yisrael. He's Rechov Dinzigoving in Eretz Yisrael. He's not the Kaisel. And Afal Pikein, state in Rishonim, that he has this schus of Mitzvah Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. But there's also something called Katainti Mikol HaChasadim. And that is, Yaakov Avinu understands what does it mean to thank and appreciate the chesed of the Eibishter. And that is, you know, Yidden are called Yehudi. We're called Yehudim. The reason is brought down in all the Sfarim, Yehoida Yud. We thank Hashem. We praise the Eibishter. But the question is, all Goyims, all nations of the world praise Hashem. Who doesn't say thank God? Might be the one of the most used sayings in the world. Thank God, praise God. It's everybody says it. So why are we called Yehudim that we stand out special more than anybody else? So I always thought maybe they say it, we mean it. Maybe. Maybe that's the pshat. But I think it's really deeper. I think it's more about our characteristic of who we are, that we are be'etzim people who can be moedel Hashem, while a guy can't do that. And I'll explain to you what I mean. You know, a guy believes that he has a right to freedom, success, happiness. In America, right? The pursuit of happiness. It's a God-given right. Bush used to say it all the time. It's God given right to every individual. Learn, it's like that's how you're written, you know, without the Yiddish in it. He would say that every human being has the right to be free and happy and prosperous. Mamewa. When you don't get that, you get very angry at God. So when you thank God for getting it, when you thank the Eibishter for giving you the happiness, you're thanking Him for giving you what you deserve. What you think is coming to you. A Yid comes from a different point. He doesn't believe that he deserves anything. He believes it's all chesed Yebishta, that actually he's supposed to get nothing. And therefore, any little thing he does get. So even if he gets very little, he's already thankful. The guy, and that's the difference between the guy and the yid. If the guy would get just 1% of what he wants, he'd be furious because he didn't get 98, 99% of what he expects. The yid, by getting 1%, feels he already got more than he deserves. Exactly. Esav is Yeshli Kail. Yeshli Rav. He's never fully satisfied because he deserves everything. Yankiv is Yeshli Kail. No matter what it is, it's everything. Correct. I'll tell you really where I got this from. You know, Leah says, Hapam Oides Hashem. When she had her fourth child. The Gemara says that there was nobody till Leah who thanked Hashem. Is that true? Does that make sense? Nobody thanked Hashem till Leah. Avram didn't daven, Yitzchak didn't daven. The whole tefillah is hoida. What does it mean? So we said different pshatim throughout the years. But you know what the pashut pshat is? Hapam oides Hashem shenatalti yoiser michalki. It's a whole different understanding of thanking. I thank Hashem that I got more than I deserve. The idea of understanding that I deserve little and I get more, only a yid has that. And Leah was the one that was mechadish. Leah introduced a whole new understanding of haita. Hapam oides Hashem, not for what I got.
For the extra.
Meaning, shenatalti, I took more than I actually ever deserve. Natalti yoyser michalki. Mefarshim talk how hoida and moida, admitting, is in the same root word. The pshat. Because moida means you have to admit that it's yoyser michalki. It takes a certain honesty to admit that I actually deserve very little, and I got a lot. I got more than I deserve. Takes admitting that I don't deserve. A guy can't admit that. A guy lives, I deserve a lot. It's my God-given right to have everything. So if I don't get most of what I expect, I'm not very happy, and I can't thank Hashem. While the opposite, a yid is humble. Humble means I don't deserve anything, and therefore what I've received, and that comes from being moida, to admit what is what I deserve, what I'm supposed to get, what my lot is, moida and hoida. It's the root of each other. They come together. When a person is Maida, then comes Hoida. Katainti mikol achasadim. You know what Yaakov Avinu was saying? An unbelievable thing. The Rabbi Shem said, Heitiv. I asked you a question. What is the double lashon? Heitiv, twice. So there's a vart from Reb Zalman Sirotskin, my great uncle, who says over B'Shem, his father-in-law, Rav Gordon, tells Rosh Hashiva, who heard from Rav Yisrael Salanter, the following pshat. Imagine you hire a person to do a job. And you tell him a salary, 50 a year, for doing the job. The guy was lazy. Every few days he didn't show up because he was sick or this or that, 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 that. At the end, the job was weak. Comes at the end of the year, he wants his salary. The owner looks and says, you didn't do much. It was weak. You didn't show up most of the time. It wasn't good. So he could go and say, I'm not going to give you the money, and fight. Or he could be a nice guy and say, you know what? He's got a wife and kids, and this and that. You know, let me just pay him, and that's all. Now, you could hear him not wanting to pay, and then you could hear a nice guy who would pay. But then you have another type of situation where the same guy, instead of not showing up, he did worse. You know what he used to do? He used to ruin the business. He would come in every day, take a bat, break the computer, and break the windows, break the chairs. Then he comes at the end of the month, pay. So what does the Baal HaBaas say? Pay? You pay me. What are you talking about? I should take you to court. You're crazy? Right? So if he's a nice guy, you know what he's going to say? You know what? He has his wife, children. You know, forget it. Because they're not going to pay him. Says like this. Let's say Gar Machet. Right? What's Gar Machet? Gar Machet is that he did a Aseh or a Lois Aseh. Depends. If he does an Aseh, he was over an Aseh, he just didn't do what he has to do. So Hashem's chesed is that he gives you anyway what he promised. He gives you the salary anyway. But if you did worse, you did a Lois Aseh, which means you went and you did bad things in the... So Hashem should say, I should take from you, not give you. So that's a double chesed. Heitiv, heitiv means not only do I not charge you, punish you, so to speak, I even give you what I promised you, so that's a double heitiv. That's a hatov, a double. Heitiv, heitiv, double. Okay? Beautiful. Beautiful, classic. Rabbi Yisrael Salanter. Now, Rabbi Isai, I want to add to this a Meirid Gechap. A Meirid Gechtikl. You ready? What happens if you told the guy originally, you do your work. If you do good, I'm going to give you a bonus. Yeah. Listen to Avot from Rabbi Yisrael Salanter. Listen to Avot. It's classic. Yeah, listen to Avot. So let's say the guy didn't do... I'm repeating it for you. Let's say the guy didn't do the job. Okay? He didn't do good. He missed it here. He missed there. So either you could come and say, I don't want to pay you. Or you could say, you know what? Let's not file pay. Okay. But let's say the guy ruined the job. So there, instead, it's more, what would I do? I would go and I would say, I should really take from you. No, you know what? I'll let it go. But I'm not going to come and give you, right? That's vanoichi eitiv eitiv. You did double. You did good upon good. Good plus. Not only, for example, I was over a aseh, so I just didn't do. So therefore, I just didn't do. I shouldn't get my wages. But I also was a lois aseh. I did bid. So there I should come and say, I should take from you, I should punish you. No, I give you the wages, so that's heitiv heitiv. It's double good. Not only I don't take from you, but I give you the salary. That's anoichi heitiv heitiv. Double. It's a good upon a good. Okay. I would like to add to this the following. Let's say when I hired the guy, I told him, if you do good, you'll get a bonus. Now the guy comes after a year. Not only he broke my computers and my windows and he lost me all my customers, he comes and says, give me my bonus. So that's already, not only I give him the salary, I go further than that. You say, you got to be crazy. You got to be completely off. Well, in Russian we say, Atmarozhene, well, you're ganzen crackers. What are you talking about? The Rebbein Shalom does that also. Katainti Mikol Achasodim. Katainti Mikol Achasodim. Chesed. I'm humbled by all the chesed. You know what the chesed is? That not only did you not give me the salary, you gave me the bonus too. Va'ata Marta, all you, and that's, you're not complaining. He's not saying you promised me. He's saying, Rabbi Shalom, I'm seeing the chesed. You only told me eitiv eitiv, which is good upon good, which means even if I broke your business, so to speak, I did the lois aseh, you still give me. That's all you told me you would do. And still what happened, you did even further. Katayiti mikala chasadim, you did chesed with me also. Gave me the bonus too. Not only did you say and keep what you said, that you gave me toiv and meitiv. You gave me the salary even though I broke you. I didn't do what I was supposed to do. But katayinti, I'm even humbled because mikala chasadim, even though all you promised me was heitiv eitiv. I'll tell you where I got this from. Every morning we say in davening, hatoiv. Actually, we say it through in every tefillah, hatoiv. It should go in order. Hatoiv kilechalu tuvay. Hamirachay kilechalu rachamov. He's good, then it doesn't end his goodness. He's merachay, it doesn't end his rachmanis. So why are we switching around? Hatoiv kilechalu rachamov. Hamirachay kilechalu chasadav. I believe with this pshat that I just said, based on my uncle Shab B'Shem Reb Shol Salanter, that's the pshat. Hatoiv. You know what toiv would be? He's good. Meaning, you know what? More or less, you did a good job. You know what? No problem. I'll give you the full salary. That's hatoiv. Ki leichalu racham of what happens if I don't deserve it? I don't deserve it. So you gotta have real rachmanis. Atoiv. You know what Taya Toiv the Abish is? Toiv kilechol rachamov. That he goes the extra step means if I really don't deserve it, he still gives it to me. That's rachmanis. And you know what type of rachmanis? So just give him to me. You know what? Here, take for your family a amirachim. Kilechamu chasadov. Gives me the bonus also. You hear? Hatoiv. Let's understand it in the context of salary, all right? Hatoiv. I don't deserve the salary. Kilechol rachamav. He gives it to me because he has rachmanis. But he can give me, you know what? Yeah, I'll cut off half the salary. I'll give you just to be yaitz, right? Rachmanis, I feel bad for you. No. Hamirachay. Not only does he give me the salary, he gives me the salary plus a bonus. Kilechamu chasadav. He goes, more. And that's pshat katoyinti, nikol hachasadim. I am small from all the chasadim, and that's humble. And that's because I know the Rabbi Yishlam, I deserve nothing, and you give me. And I was thinking to myself once, where does that come from? You know, it says, Va'ish Moshe onav mi'oy. You know what onav is? The translation Rashi says, onav is savlon, saivon. What does it mean to be saivul? Anav. How is an anav a savlon? And the answer might be as follows. An anav means he's humble. He doesn't think he deserves. And therefore he's savlon. He accepts. Ezel osher hasameh b'chal. Whatever you give me, I don't deserve it. So I accept it. A guy can't accept. You know why he can't accept? Because he feels he deserves. There's a gaiva. You owe me. What do you mean? What do you mean? It's me. What do you mean? But if you're an anav, so whatever it is, you're a savlon. It says that when Mashiach will come to the Beis Hamikdash and he'll say, Anavim, Anavim, Higiu Zman Geulaschem, the time of your geula has come. And I never understood why anavim. Why? What does that have to do with humble? Why is Klal Yisrael called back from the Galus as an anav? Why? And I think Rabbi say the pshat is gevaldik. In Galus we survive. You know why we survive? Because we know that it's all katayinti mikol hachasadim. We didn't expect that that Eibishter owes us anything. So any little chesed we get, we take it. Savlon. The reason why we were soivul, the gullus, the reason why we were able to withstand the gullus, because we accept, we're anav. Anav is savlon. Anavim, anavim. Higiu zman geulaschem. Only a yid could suffer through a gullus and turn to the Eibishter and thank him. Yankiv Avinu, he went through a hard parshius. You think it was easy in the house of Lavan? You think it was easy in the house of love? He could have turned to the Rabbi Yishlam, you owed it to me. Va'ata amarti, you owed it to me. That's not what he really means. Katonti, I'm humbled. Mikola chasadim, because ana v'savlon. He knows he doesn't deserve, and he was given. So anything he's given is more than he deserved. Anavim anavim, that's what it means. Those that are humble, higiu zman gulaschem, that they were able to withstand the pressure of galus. How do you withstand the pressure of galus? Knowing katayti mikala chasadim, that it's not pshat, you owed it to me. Fuck earth, whatever you give me. I'd like to also point out a third part of the parasha. That A, we said that it was incumbent on Yankif to fight Esav. And therefore he was afraid, because the Yetzirah is what to be afraid of. We also pointed out that there's an Indian called Haidah, Katayti Mikala Chasadim, and that is that Yankiv Avinu understands that he has to be afraid because Nismatus Chiyaisai, that no matter what he got, he still owes the Eibishter more than the Eibishter owes him. And that's tefillah. In tefillah, you can't come and have bitachon. And that's why I try to start with the beginning to explain to you that maybe after tefillah you can have bitachon. But before tefillah, you can't have bitachon. Because bitachon means that, of course I deserve. You don't deserve anything. You don't deserve nothing. Well, what do you mean? So it's therefore in tefillah, Katayti mikal achasadim, you can't have bitachon. Ki yari anaychi oisa in tefillah, you must say that. So it's not a steer anymore. Well, what was my question? That why are you afraid? And the answer is, when you daven, in the context of tefillah, you have to be afraid. Because you have to be humble and say that I don't deserve, and therefore you should give me. And now you can say, okay, I davened and I trusted in you, and now I can get because I have bitachon. The davening itself is an expression of bitachon. It's working through the bitachon that I don't deserve, yet I turn to you, and yet I now deserve because I turn to you. You understand what we're trying to bring out? That yes, there's an inyan of fighting the Yetzirah, and therefore you have to be insecure. Yet there's such a thing called tefillah. And in tefillah you have to be insecure. Otherwise, what are you davening for? And the answer is, you have to be insecure. Express your insecurity through tefillah. And now you can be secure that you've done that, that you will get. Now there's another part of the equation. You know, the Chazal tell us that Yankiv Avinu, Vayivoser Yaakov Levadoi, says that he was left alone. Says the Chazal, like it says by the Rebbeinu Shloilom, V'niskov Hashem Levadoi, B'yoyimahu, that the Rebbeinu Shloilom also was alone on that day. But just like Yaakov is alone, the Rebbeinu Shloilom is alone, Levadoi, Levadoi. What does it mean? V'yivoser Yaakov is left alone, the Rebbeinu Shloilom is alone. What does it mean? I think Rabbi say it means as follows. You know, Yaakov Avinu, like I pointed out, goes through tremendous fear that we never find by any of the other avos. We don't find fear by them. We don't find fear. Avraham was afraid, maybe when he went down to Mitzrayim, a little, but fear, an expression of gripping fear, we don't find only by Yaakov. What's the pshat? You know what fear needs? You know how you combat fear? Ultimate bitachon. And my question I started was, where's Yaakov's bitachon? The opposite. Yaakov was working through the bitachon. Yaakov was creating the ultimate levels of bitachon that Klal Yisrael will eventually need throughout the galus. The Mefarshim tell us that this story with Yaakov and Esav is not a one-time thing. It's an epic of Klal Yisrael through the Dairis. The Ramban says this is a textbook for the future with Edom and Gullus and Tefillah. Yaakov Avinu was working through what Klal Yisrael is going to have to Maisa of a similar Bonim, how to challenge and how to win the battle, so to speak, through the Dairis of fighting Edom. What he needed was Vayivasa Yaakov Levadai, and I'll explain to you what I mean. The ultimate bitachin is to know that you're Levadai, and that Levadai is with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And I'm going to explain to you again. Understand that the fight with Sarei Shalesov, understand that the fight of Sarei Shalesov is for the future. It's not a one-time thing. It's V'hut Tzeilei Al Yerechai. Reb Shamshon Folher says, Zecharinu Levracha, Tzeilei Al Yerechai means we're going to limp to the end. This is a sign for Klal Yisrael at the end of days. Ad Ki Bo Hashemesh, till the sun will come up and Mashiach will come. It's an epic event. It's not something which was a one-time happen. At that moment that we're going to beat Tzeilei Al Yerechai, at that final clause, the end, Ad Bo Hashemesh, will only come through Vayivasa Yaakov Levadai. What does Levadai mean? Einoid Levadai. Yaakov now does not have Shimon and Levi. You know, Shimon and Levi was strong. Don't think Yosef ben Yamin, the Shvatim were able to you see, Chushim ben Dan, he chopped off Yosef's head. So one grandson, who was deaf, was able to chop off the guy's head. So what, Shimon took up a whole city. Shimon Velevi took up. Unbelievable, huh? I have a better question for you. You know, what's the pshat that Yaakov is alone? Was he allowed to be alone? The Gemara says, a person I'll go alone at night. The Mishnah Novice. The Mishnah says, nobody is allowed, the Gemara Chulin says, a Talmud Chacham al Yetzi Yechidi Balayla. Is it a Talmud Chacham? Is it, either way, he was definitely in the category. He was either a person or a Talmud Chacham. Either way, Yaakov was not allowed to be alone at night. So why is Yaakov alone? Pachim Tanim, small jugs. That's a reason to put yourself in danger. You're not allowed to go at night alone. As a matter of fact, in Zohar it's brought down that it has to do with Levana and kiss snakes and Eres and poisons. And as by Yavasa Yaakov was the only person, says the Zohar, that was out at night that night. By Yavasa Yaakov Levada, he was the only person out at night. From the whole world, yeah? Everybody was inside, Yaakov was outside. You know? Why? I have another question for you. You ready? So the Mefarshim, well, you know, let's just answer this question. So the Mefarshim say, in Revit Azov, there's a Sefer called Revit Azov, his famous classic shot that everybody uses from him, he went for Pachim Tanim. Pachim Tanim, we know, has to do with oil, which is to put on a matseva, which is to give a Shevach Voidah today, to praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Right? So he went to Dvar Mitzvah. He went to Dvar Mitzvah, he didn't have to be afraid. So why did he take get in danger? Pachim ktanim too. He didn't need so many. To put oil on a matzeva, you need just one. Who says you need a lot? Pachim ktanim, many. You know, it's brought down in Rekech and others that has to Chanukah. Pachim ktanim, that pach was the pach shemen that later on. So then what is it? Maybe who says for Chanukah you need a. The whole idea of the Pach Shemen is you have the Rebbe Shimon Oiris, you know, have big jugs, you know. Who's that? Maybe a little oil. Who's that? Just a little humor at the end of the shit. Yeah, Rav Eisai. No, he made a mistake. He went for too much. That's what the Ravid Azov says. Okay, good. Yeah, it's pilpul. I just, you know what I really think the real pshat is? I have a better question for you. And this I hold is the real pshat. How many malachim were around Yaakov? He had hundreds of malachim around him. And they weren't just malachim in his head. They were real malachim, meaning he used to send them to Esau. He spoke to them, he sent them to Esau. They were like people, malachim like people. Malachim Amish. Where are all his malachim? What happened? Bishlai, Meshimim, Velevi, and all that. They're all in the Machna. Where were the malachim that went with him? The Zohar asks for Akash. Where are all the malachim? And the answer is, right at this moment, they disappeared. Why? In order to be able to fight with Esav.
I don't get it. His kids were able to wipe out towns.
Correct. So I'm answering you. Listen carefully. So what do we have the malachim left? Malachim left. So I want to explain to you, you know why the Malachim left? The Rabbeinu Shlomo wanted Yaakov to be alone. And how will he win? Because of the Eibishter. He needed to come to full Bitachon. Not to rely on Shimon Levi, not to rely on the Malachim, not to rely on presence, and not to rely on Tefillah. You know, we have by Mitzrayim. What are you davening to? Batitzakelai. It's not a time to daven. Daven Esau v'Yisau. Let them just go. What's the pshat? Emunah. You see that there's a time and a place where even tefillah is out of place. What do you need? You need Einoid Muvati. The Rebbeinu, I full trust, I travel. In the ocean, I go. The Eibush said, Vayivaser Yaakov Levadai. At the end, he prepared himself. He was frightened, and the Eibush warned him to be scared, because he had to work on Bitachin. And why is it Yaakov that has to work on Bitachin? Titein Emes Liakrif. Bitachin comes from Emes. The ultimate Emes of knowing that the Rabbeinu Shloilem is Einoid Muvadai V'Niskav Hashem Levadai. That Emes that will come at the end of times is the Levadai that was needed here by Yaakov. And he wins. That's when he's done with Esav. Ki Ra'isa Panim El Panim. I saw Hashem Panim El Panim. What does it mean Panim El Panim? I saw clear. I saw Rabbeinu Shloilem. I saw Einoid Muvadai V'Tinatzel Nafshi. He understands now, Penuel, that it's with the Rabbeinu Shem that you win. It's not Matanis to Esav. He had to go through the stages. And there what happens? Afterwards he's done with Esav. It's finished. He's not going to finish with Esav now. He comes tomorrow, everything's fine, he's secure now. He's not afraid anymore. The fight with Esav had to be Vayivaser Yaakov Levadai. And what's Levadai? That he's with the Rabbeinu Shloilem. He wasn't alone. He was alone, but he had to know he wasn't alone. Knowing he wasn't alone, because he's with the Eibishter, is what wins the war against Esav. It was the ultimate bitachin in the galus, Einoid Muvadai. And therefore the Malachim had to leave him, and Reuven had to leave, and Shimon, and all the things he relied on. One machna will fight him. That wasn't a cheshbon that's not going to make you win Esav. He was relying on one machna fighting, meaning Shimon V'Levi. No. Malach, no.
He said,
the idea was that he had to fight Sarei Shel Esav. When? When he's Levadai. When he's Levadai. When he's Levadai. And what's Levadai? The Niska of Hashem. And I think that's the pshat. Listen carefully. You know, when originally he's told, Ani Hashem. Don't say, Anoichi Hashem. It says, Ani Hashem. And then it says, Hine Anoichi. You know, whenever it says Anoichi, the Gaon always says, Anoichi has to do with Anoichi Hashem Alikach. For example, like when Rivka said, Lama Zah Anoichi. Anoichi means, what do I need Anoichi Hashem Alikach? Because she thought there was two Rishuyos. The baby was Avodah Zarah and Beis HaMedrash. So the same child, there's two, there's such a thing as in his stomach, in the stomach when they were with the Malach, he's already pushing Avodah Zarah, so where's Anoichi Hashem Alikach? Im kein lama ze'ah Anoichi. So whenever it says Anoichi, now where did this come from? I went to search it down a little bit. What's the difference between Ani and Anoichi? Why sometimes it says Ani Hashem Alikechem or it says Anoichi Hashem Alikecha? Ani Hashem Alikechem Asher Tzisichem Eretz Mitzrayim. At the end of Kriyishma, what do we say? Anoichi or Ani?
Anoichi.
No, at the end of Kriyishma?
Ani.
Ani, what are you talking about? Ani Hashem Alikechem Asher Tzisichem Eretz Mitzrayim. Yet in Aseres Hadibros it says Anoichi. So I'm not sure. There's supposed to be a Malbim that says Ani, I am who? And Anoichi is that I'm going to do. Anoichi that I do. Ani that I am. Ani Hashem, I am. Anoichi, I am who that does. But it doesn't fit in by Kriyashma. What do you do by Kriyashma? Kriyashma, Ani Hashem, Asher Tzisichem Eretz Mitzrayim. It should say Anochi at the end of Kriya Shema. Take out the Siddur. It should say Anochi. Ani Hashem Elokeichem Asher Tzichem Etzayim Eretz. Ani Hashem Elokeichem, right? Hashem Elokeichem Emes, right? It should say Anochi. So, right? So what's the difference? Now, so I found the Psikta that says that actually that's what he was afraid of in the beginning in Parshas Vayetze. Ani Hashem Elokei Avram Avicha. Says the Medrash, the Psik, the Rabbasi, what? Why didn't you come to me with Anoichi? Why to my father Avram you said Anoichi Elokei Avicha? You said Anoichi. How come to you, to me, it's Ani? So that's why it says, Vanoichi lo yadati. Vayikatz Yaakov, Vayira, Vayomer, Vanoi Ramakom, Vanoichi lo yadati. What's one? I didn't know Anoichi. How come you didn't come to me with Anoichi? He was afraid he did something wrong that the Anoichi wasn't there. Yeah? Vanoichi lo yadati. What does Hashem tell him, says the Psikta? Hine Anoichi imach. So I want to say now Pshak and Valdik. You know, the ultimate emunah and bitachin is to have Anoichi Hashem lekecha with you. You know what the Rabbi Hashem was telling him? Hine, I give you haftacha that the Anoichi Hashem Alikecha will guarantee you everything. Anoichi. If a person goes, and I'll tell you a beautiful story. Rav Givta Zichrono Livracha used to say over about the Tel Zerov. How was he killed? Rav Bloch. He was killed. Nazis killed him. They came into to Tel's and they searched for the Rav. So the Rav was in the shul. He was learning. They came there. And the Nazis started to ridicule him. Rabiner, you're scared? You're afraid? You know what's coming, right? You know what's going to be. They were playing with him. They were Rishayim. Where's your God now? Huh? Where's your God? He's going to protect you, you think? You think you're not going to? Where's your God? Rav Bloch, like Tells, the whole sheet of Tells is Amitzus. It's strength. It's brazen, not to be scared. Brazen, yeah? What did he say? My God. It's your God too. It's the whole world's God. And one day you'll know about it. The Nazi got so furiated because he stood up. He was, Rav Bloch was punching him back with the ultimate milchama. You know what that is? I'm not afraid of you. I have full security. Bechlal, not afraid. And you know why I'm not afraid? Because I know the Amos. Anoichi Hashem Alikecha. Hashem is Hashem. The Nazi got so angry that he didn't even have a chance to turn his gun around to shoot. That's how angry he was. He just took the butt of the rifle. And he broke his neck. He broke the neck of the Talzerov with it. The idea was that he wasn't afraid. There was no fear. And why was there no fear? Because he knew Anoichi Hashem, there's nothing to be afraid of. And I want to explain to you, what is bitachon? The Chaznishik says, you know what bitachon is? When a person has clear emunah, from that comes bitachon. When a person has clear emunah, that's what leads to bitachon. I'll give you over a beautiful part to the understanding of this Chazanish. It says in the Kisvei Chazanish, Ki ein etzev be'olam l'misha makir oira yisoemes. A person can't have any depression nor any anxiety or fear when someone knows the truth, the light of truth. And that's what the Chazanish means. When a person reaches the ultimate emes, the truth of Emunah, from that comes bitachon. From that comes bitachon. From that comes bitachon. Yeah. Abai said, this is the pshat over here too. Emes. The ultimate emes in Emunah creates the ultimate bitachon. Vayivaser Yaakov levadai. And this was his avoida. You know why this was his avoida? Because Yaakov was emes. Yaakov had to create the ultimate einoid levadai bitachon because he was emes. Titein emes liyakov. And what is in the emes liyakov? Emuna. And therefore bitachon. And I'll tell you where we say it in davening. I'll tell you where we say it in davening. Emes atohu Hashem tzur yakov magin yishen. Emes atohu Hashem. The emes, you hear? Emes v'emuna, the emes is tzur yakov, the strength of Yaakov magin yishen. That's where the Yeshua comes from. So the titein emes liyakov was mechayiv. You hear Rabbi Yisai? That it should be bitachin, and that was the tzur, the strength of Yaakov magin yishen. And that's how he survived Esav, and that's what he instilled mice of a simul upon him. It was Yaakov's avoida, and that's why Yaakov had to suffer from fear, where others, the other avis, didn't have to go through all this. Because his midas emes was mechayiv, the ultimate emes in emuna, to the point that it's so emes that I have bitachon. You hear Rabbi Yisai? Yaakov is the midah bitachon, and I want to tell you one step further. We know that Yaakov was mesaken ma'irif. Ma'irif is galus. What do we say by ma'irif? No, emes v'emuna. Yaakov's midah was emes, the emuna in emes. In the galus, in the dark, where it's not clear, you have to fight to see the truth. That's the emes v'emuna of Yaakov, and that's what brings about the bitachin that saves us in the galus of Edom, in the galus, the mire of the darkness of the night. And this is the pshat, Ayira Yaakov. So we all ask, where's Yaakov's bitachin? And you know what the answer is? Yaakov was bitachin. Yaakov was the inventor of bitachin. Yaakov brought us to levels of bitachin, which was emes ve'emuna, which leads to the bitachin of einoid milvadai v'nizkov Hashem levadai, that there's only one Rebbeinu Shleilam. And that's the ultimate bitachin, and it was needed to fight the ultimate ra of Esav, and the ultimate danger of Esav. And at the final gullus, this will be our protection. Say, lay al yerechai, we're going to limp to the end. But we know we make it with Ein Eid, Mulvadai, Efez Ulasai.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.